Hallelujah. Well, if you can look on your sheet there, we've been talking about, I had a series that we called Remember, and we've talked about it some here and there, and then we also have another series that we're doing as well. But this morning, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Let's read 2 Peter 1, verse 12 on your sheet. We're going to read a few scriptures on your sheet. Everybody have a scripture sheet? Anybody need one? Everybody's got one. Good. It says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Notice that. Though you know and are established in the present truth, I'm going to remind you. Even if you know it, even if you have it established, I'm still going to remind you. Verse 13, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Jude 5, it says, "I want to remind you that though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." I want you to focus on the first part of that. It says, "I want to remind you, though you once knew this." Evidently, they let something slip. They once knew it, but they don't know it anymore. 2 Peter 3:17 says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness." In other words, these people, evidently, some of them, they're strong, but he's saying you have to beware lest you fall from being strong, lest you become weak, lest you fall off the horse. You know, you're going somewhere and you're steadfast in a truth, but then you fall down and you're not strong anymore. He's given a warning, lest you beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away from the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, this is what we focused on last week. I want to spend a little bit more time on it this morning. It says, "But verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." And we're talking about remembering, keeping your focus, being steadfast. And we talked about it last week. I don't have time to go through everything we covered. I encourage you to go listen to it because we're going to start there. We'll repeat a few things, but then it was very good last week. I don't say that because I preached it. There was a strong anointing on it. I just encourage you to go listen to it if you didn't hear it. If you did hear it, you can go back and listen to it. Just to sew up some of these things and to cover this subject. But we're talking about being stirred up and being reminded. And we realize that we need to be reminded of things. You know, this is not like, sometimes we get like maybe we were like, when we were adolescents. You know, first of all, when your children, your mother or father, they remind you of certain things. Remember to brush your teeth. Remember to make your bed. Hey, remember to put the keys on the table when you come in. Put your billfold there. These different things, you know, pick up your room. These things remind you. Did you remember to take the trash out? We remind them. And when they're children, they fully expect it. But, you know, when we did the same thing, when you hit being a teenager and stuff, you start to think, well, I know some stuff now. And then somebody reminds you, your parent reminds you of something. Well, I know that, Mom. I know that, Dad. Come on. 13 or 15 or 17. I know. And there's this pride that can come, right? And it's natural. It's natural in humans. That's why we have to train our children. People think, well, they're just righteous and pure as the wind-driven snow. You just let them blossom into whatever. Yeah, you let them blossom into whatever. You see what you're going to get if you just let them go. You might get, you know, a field of stuff that, you know, if you just let a field go, you're going to get all kinds of stuff, and a lot of it you don't want. It's just not, you know, if you have a lawn that's just perfectly manicured, and you just walk away from it for 2 years, and you come back, what is it going to look? It's not going to look like the nice cut manicured lawn that you left. It's going to have stuff all over the place, right? So anyway, people get this idea that human beings, they just, you know, just let them go, and they just go in whatever direction they want, and that's the way they're supposed to go. That's not true. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that they should go, and then when they're young, they won't depart from it. So we're supposed to have correction, instruction, direction. And do you know that spiritual things are a lot like natural things? Do you know we're supposed to have correction, instruction, teaching spiritually? You know you're not supposed to just coast. You could have, spiritually speaking, a well-manicured lawn, and you know some things, and you're established and steadfast. But you just put it on autopilot and quit doing what you need to maintain, and you look up 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, you may have some stuff in your life you don't want. In fact, you will. There is no way you are just going to be an autopilot and everything is just going to happen. Things don't happen automatically in a Christian's life just because Jesus paid for them, just because they're available. They don't happen automatically. Did you know that? Well, Jesus paid for it, so it should just happen. Okay. Did Jesus pay for all the world to be saved? So they're all saved then, right? Oh, really? You mean doesn't it happen automatically? Because Jesus has bought and paid for it. So everybody should just be saved. No, they have to take it. They have to grab it and take it into this realm. If they don't, even though it's sitting there on the table, ready to be received, they will still go to hell. Because God sent them there? No, because they chose. Because they won't act on it. You know, you could have a buffet. I don't know. I haven't been to a buffet really in years. But they do have them around. You have a buffet of all this kind of stuff. And it's sitting there. And, you know, whatever, you name it. You could be sitting at your table going, "What? But I don't have any fried chicken. I don't have any salad. But I don't have any chocolate cake." And if you told that to the person assisting you at the table, they might look at you funny, like, "Did you go up and get it?" "Well, no. Well, no, I didn't get it. I just expect it to just be here." "Did you even ask anybody to get it for you?" "No." "Well, how did you expect it to be?" "Well, you guys have it cooked up and ready. It's prepared. Why isn't it on my table?" "Because you didn't do anything about it." Right? All you have to do is get up and go over there and get what you have has already been paid for. You know, you already, if you've already paid for it up front, they usually, you know, make you pay when you're coming in or whatever. You've already paid for it. It's already yours. You just grab it. But it's not automatic. So we are saying, when you're growing up, sometimes even in the natural, kids are like, "Well, you told me something. I don't want to hear that. I already know that." And this is the funniest thing. You can go to remind them about something. I'm just saying in general, just as like, you know, your parents reminded you about something or whatever. They go to remind you, and you're like, "Yeah, I know that." And then you don't do or do the exact thing they were trying to remind you about. You know, "Well, don't forget to do such and such." Yeah, I know, Mom, go on. Then 3 hours later, whatever, "Hey, did you do that?" "No." You know, they were like, I don't need you telling me anything. I don't need anything. And you know what? We can get that way spiritually. And you know what the sign of that? If we're like that spiritually, like, "Oh, I don't need to be reminded of stuff. I already know it." You know what that's a sign of? That's not a sign of you being a mature Christian. That's a sign of you more being kind of maybe a teenage Christian. Because teenagers think they know everything. You ever seen that bumper sticker? You know, it says, hurry, hire a teenager while they still know everything. Go hire that 13-year-old and get some work out of them, because right now they know it all. Pretty soon they're not going to, but you might as well hit on it now, right? Well, we all know this is not true, but they think they are, and we did, probably to a degree. We thought we knew everything. This is all so simple. You know, you start analyzing the world. Why do these people have all these troubles with everything? This is all so easy. Just do this and this. Come on, parents, get it together. Teachers, good night. And we can't drive. We have never earned a paycheck. We've never parented a child. We have no idea what it's like to be on our own, but we know how to solve the world's problems. Do you know that Christians can be like this too? And you can, if that those type of thoughts, you can monitor yourself, start coming in, well, I already know this. Why is that person doing that? And, you know, people, it's hilarious to watch. Now, I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, so don't, but, you know, over the years, you see people and you hear them talk, and they know what X ministry should do, and they know what this pastor should do, and this guy over across the world that has a 20,000-member church, they know that he's messing up here, and he should be doing this. And then this guy that's been in the ministry for 50 years and has an international ministry, but he's doing it wrong here and here and here, and I know exactly why. And yet this person has never done anything on that scale at all, never had a ministry, never pastored a church, never even led a Bible study, yet they're out there saying, I know it all. It's funny. It's just as funny as the 13-year-old going, I know how to do all this, and you're looking at him going, no, you don't. Where's your track record? If you did some of it, you might figure out it's not exactly what you think it is. Right? So we need to be reminded. And when we get a reminder saying, well, I already know it, is a sure sign we're on the wrong track already. We have the wrong idea about something when we think, well, I already know that. Okay, we just read where Peter was saying, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Is it possible to fall from steadfastness? You're steadfast today, and you know what? You can get a prompt. Pride will say, you don't need to hear anything. You already know it. Pride, you know what the devil? The devil will always push you in pride. Because he is the, you know, the Bible didn't say he's a father. He's the father of lies, but he also inspires pride. I mean, how proud is it to go against the Almighty and say, I'm going to take the Almighty out. Any of you guys want to come with me? We're gonna go against God and we're going to win. Hello? You're going to take the most powerful being in the universe, you're going to go up against him. You know, you've seen his power, you've been around him, and you think you're going to take him out? Really? That is the epitome of pride. Yet he did it. Now, how blatantly obvious that looks, that's exactly what pride will do to you. It will blind you so much that you are going and saying, I'm going to do this. And it seems like a good idea to you, and everybody around you, if they can see, they're going, you're going to do what? You think that's a good idea? But pride will say, oh yeah, it's a good idea. You just don't know. You're not as spiritual as I am. Seriously, this is exactly what it sounds like. The devil will say, yeah, they don't understand. Don't pay them any attention. They're trying to help you. They're trying to go, hey, buddy. And what, you know what? The devil will tell you, nah, rebuke them. Tell the devil to get behind you. The devil will tell you to tell the devil to get behind you because actually, he's the one instigating it. And actually, they're from God trying to help you. They're trying to tell you a message from God, and pride will tell you, you don't need to hear them. Get them out of the way. They don't understand. They're just not as spiritual. Go ahead anyway. And you're going 90 miles an hour into a brick wall. We need to understand that all of us need to be teachable. all of us, no matter how long you have lived on this earth, we need to be teachable, because if we understand God's word, a man did not write God's word. Men wrote it inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is the Lord speaking. So if the word of God is going forth, then anybody can learn something from it at that point, because it's the Lord speaking. And it's, if we're hooked up with God and the Holy Spirit can have somebody to say something with the anointed word, and that man or woman has no clue what you're doing or where you're at, but it's inspired and it's anointed to go and cut through all this stuff and put a light on something. Just this, all this noise and all this smoke, and the word of God and the anointing will cut through it all and just put a light on it. And that's what God, and you're hearing from the Lord, not a man, through a man from God. Just like the word. This Bible came through men, but men did not think it up. They did not generate it. So it is beyond any person on the face of the earth. It holds truth that is beyond men. It is throughout the ages. So we need to be reminded. And you know what we ought to say? Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. You know what, the humble person, once you get a little bit of years on your life, and somebody, you know, even at work, somebody can tell you something or remind you, like your boss. Bring it home a little bit now. You say, well, yeah, I used to do that as a teenager. Okay, how about you're working at a job and somebody at the job says, hey, remember to do this, or they're trying to help you in something that you already know. What's your reaction? Well, I don't know that. You don't need to tell me about that. I know. Don't you know I know this? Well, again, that's a sign of being more of a teenage mentality. Because a mature person, a gracious person, if you tell them something they already know, they'll look at you and smile and say, thank you. Thank you. And they already know it. They've already done it 1,000 times. But a gracious person of stature, we all know this. That's what we would expect from somebody. If somebody goes, well, I already know that, you would say, I was just trying to help, man. I was just trying to help. Well, you know, you're going to hit a wall. I know that. I'm not going to hit a wall. I'm going to go over the wall. Well, okay. I'm just trying to help, man. It's right there. Sorry. A gracious person will say thank you. And a gracious person and a godly person will say, go to God and say, is there any validity to that? Am I on the wrong track? Is this something I need to hear, or is this something that somebody's just saying? You're open to the Lord. And if you go to the Lord, I don't care who it comes through. Somebody that you're not tending to take something from them, but if they say something, you can go to God. Now, if you know, yeah, it's just something that you don't need to think about, you just dismiss it. But if it's coming and somebody from you, especially from somebody you respect or loves you, has been there for you in the past, if they say something to you, you ought to go before God and say, okay, I know what I believe I'm supposed to be doing, God, but this I'm hearing. Is that something I should listen to, or is this just a distraction? But you have to honestly ask yourself, do I need to pay attention to this? And if, you know, because then you just put yourself, you know what you do? You put yourself right for the Lord to speak to you. You're saying, Lord, hey, you're humbling yourself. Is this something I need to listen to? And he'll tell you. If you're honest, yes, that is something. Look at this. Or no, that's nothing you need to pay attention. Dismiss it, you're on the right track. Keep going. But you put yourself. See, a humble person will always, they know that they can miss it. If you ever get to the place where you think, I can't miss it, pride comes before a fall. You're setting yourself up to fall. You're setting yourself up to miss it. Why? You're closed. If you think you can't miss it, you're already on the track to miss it. The Lord, you're going to close yourself off to certain things. Amen? Wasn't meaning really to go to any of that, but it's good anyway. Not taking any of it back. Praise God. So we said in verse 9, 2 Peter 1, verse 9, it says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So turn over to Hebrews quick. We read this last week, but let's turn over to that. This is something we need to be reminded of, that we've been cleansed from our sins. We need to know what Jesus did, because like we said last time, you can leak, you will leak. You need to, just because you're established in this truth, and it is a vital truth. And like we said last week, if you start down, if you start letting this slip, and the devil is persistent and he is crafty, but life will tend to wear you down. That's why you have to replenish. You have to stay built up. And this truth, I don't care how long you've walked with God, how long you've been established in this truth, this is central. If you start letting condemnation come into your life, it will affect every area of your life. If you start getting condemned and start letting the devil beat up on you and stop focusing and starting to forget, practically speaking, what Jesus did for you, and you start taking the load on yourself, you start looking at every little thing you're doing wrong, and instead of dealing with it like you should, you start to let it weigh you down, you start to get slower, you start to get depression starts to come in, you know, fatigue starts to come in, because you are not excited about life, you're not feeling good about what you're doing, you are feeling beat up and condemned. And if you're in that state, the enemy can push you and he can get you off where you need to be. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect your health. People's health starts to deteriorate. Why? Because they're beating themselves up. Your body's just going to say, okay, you want to beat us up? All right. I deserve to get sick. You won't say it like that, but you're saying, yeah, I know, I did too much, I did this and this, I brought this on myself, and your body will cooperate with that. Well, I don't deserve to have anything anyway. You start having financial problems, or, you know, you don't do stuff that you should, and, well, I'm messing up anyway. You won't say it like that, especially if you've heard the word. You could mouth that you know what Jesus did, but it's hollow, it's empty. The substance, all there is a shell there. The substance has moved on. You're not convinced of it. You're not living in the joy of your salvation anymore. You're just going through the grind. I'm just going through. Oh, yeah, if somebody cornered you and said, isn't it good what Jesus did for us? Oh, yeah, brother, and said, you know, put on a smiley face. But inside, you're like, you're down. You're worn out. You're a shell. And this is a central truth. You have let the enemy dupe you, and this is one of his number one tactics, is to get people that have been born again, blood washed, completely cleansed by what Jesus did, back under a system to where you're looking at every little thing you do and looking at that to determine how you feel. It's insidious, it's just slow. He'll try to get it to where you were all free. And then just one thing at a time, he tries to start loading you down, and you have, practically speaking, forgotten this truth. And that joy that you had, like we talked about last week, when you were born again, when you heard, maybe you were born again for a while, but you heard what Jesus did for you, and it was all you could do when you heard a song about the blood of Jesus, or how holy he is, or what he did for you. All you could do, tears come to your eyes. You're just emotional about it because you're so thankful for what Jesus did. You're so freed up. You're so, thank God. Thank you, Lord, for what you did. I'm so thankful that burden's off. You feel free. You feel light. Anybody ever experienced that? It was all you could do. You know, nobody had to stir you up to go read the Bible, to go to church. You were there. You were excited. You were in the front row. You were ready. You're like, give it to me. And then over time, that can wane to where it's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I know I'm not doing everything I should, and I'm going to get there. But if you were to look at what you're thinking, it's condemnation. You don't have a joy. That doesn't mean the same thing to you anymore, what Jesus did. It goes, and it can leak to where you look back and go, yeah, I know, I'm doing this. I'm doing this for God, doing that, you know. Pushing through, you know. It's hard, but I'm going to keep doing it. Okay. Let's go back to what we were talking about, like with the teenager. If you start hearing that type of language come out of your mouth, you have slipped. Because you're not the Savior. And you're not supposed to save yourself. This is the whole reason Jesus came. To free you from the life of feeling beat up all the time. That's the reason he came. Is so that you could feel free and come boldly into the throne room of God. And yet you are feeling like, I'm just going to do my part. I'm just going through. I'm living a Christian. Yes, I know. Thank God. You know, somebody asked you about, thank God Jesus has set me free. But you know inside, I'm not free. I'm not free. Why? Because I know, you know, the devil will lie to you. Well, I know too much. You know, I was excited, but I was naive. Now I know some things, and now it's just not, you know, it's just not as exciting. You're telling me Jesus dying for you and setting you free and making it so that you're not going to go to hell for all eternity, that right now you are in the family of God versus being in the family of the devil. That's not exciting anymore because you've moved on to bigger and better things. That's a lie. This is the foundation of our faith. And nothing will work without knowing this. Did you know it? You think your faith, well, if you're not convinced of what Jesus did for you and you're free, go try to believe for healing. You're already beating yourself up. Your body is doing exactly what it's programmed to do. It is beating you up. And you're trying to believe for healing, but you're self-condemned. You're going to rip your relationships apart. Why? Because you're feeling bad about yourself. If you've heard that thing, the boss jumps on the guy at work, so he's having a bad day. So what does he come do? He comes and lets his wife have it when he gets home, yells at her. What does she turn around and do? Lets the kids have it. What do those kids do? Go and let the dog have it? Kick the dog, whatever. What's the dog going to do? Go around and, I don't know, go outside? Yeah. That's the way it works. Why? We don't like it when we're feeling beat up. And so we're going to let somebody else pay. We're going to try to make somebody else pay, but we're also making ourselves pay. So your relationships are going to be blown up. You're going to be hard to live with. Why? Because you don't like yourself. Because you're being beat up. So no, we cannot let this one slip. We should not let any of the treasures and the truths of God slip. But you let this one slip, your life, get ready for it to be miserable. Because you're a Christian, so this truth, listen, everybody say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
The truth that has set you free and that you were excited about, you're no longer excited anymore about, and so you don't even have the ability. Whereas somebody, the first time you heard it and got excited, you were like, this is what I've been looking for. I'm so excited. This is it. This is the truth. If now you've let that slip to where the thing you were excited about, now you're not excited about, where are you going to look? Am I making myself clear? You have already experienced it, but you know what? People get into this then. They say, well, I tried that. It doesn't work. God's word doesn't work? That's a bad place to be if you think, I used to be over here, but I tried it. I was excited, but now I'm not excited. And then you look at somebody that is excited and say, oh, well, they'll learn. They'll figure it out. You know, this doesn't work. That's a bad place to be. Now the things, you look at things, the things of God, you're jaded. You're looking at people, you say, well, they're naive. They don't know. They don't know the realities. God doesn't know the realities. His word can't take care of the realities of the world. It doesn't work in the real world. That's just off, you know, they're excited religiously. Really? Is that what we believe? Is that all this is? Is that all what the truth is? It just doesn't work. It just works, you know, here, and we get excited about it, but we go out there, and it doesn't really work, and we'll just find out it doesn't work. Then why would we believe it? If it's not the Word, throw it out. But if it is the Word, and we've just let ourselves get worn down, what we have to know is that this is a very real possibility that we can get worn down, and when we start feeling bad about everything and feeling beat up, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means we've let something slip and we just need to get up and put it back to where it needs to be so we can get on track. It's as simple as that. That's all it is. The Bible warns us that this can happen. And we have to be diligent to stay on top of it so that we don't get worn down. Not in a diligent, well, I'm going to just do this. Diligent that Lord, you're going to be first place in my life. I understand that I need to be built up. I understand I can't go 100 miles an hour and not fill up. It'd be like you going on a cross-country trip, you know, and I don't know, depending on what your gas mileage is, you start going and you run out of gas like in New York or something. You're like, I don't understand it. I was going fine. I'm going to California. And somebody said, what? You know, look in your door there and, well, you're on empty, bud. What does that have to do with it? I should just be able to go until I get there. God told me to go. I'm supposed to go to California or whatever. I know I'm supposed to go. So why aren't I there? Out of gas. You're in a car. They run on gas. Yeah, but God told me. Okay, let me do this real slow. You're in an automobile. You've used up all the fuel. It will not run until you fill it up. But I don't like it that way. I'm supposed to be going. Fill it up and get going again. But I don't want to. It shouldn't be like that. I don't understand why this happened. Because you didn't fill up before you ran on empty. If you would have filled up before it was at empty, you'd still be going. Now that seems ludicrous. But I'll tell you what, people do it all the time spiritually. And they have help. If the devil can't stop you from going, then he's going to push this way to keep you from going. But if you just start going 100 miles an hour, he's like, oh, yep, go, boom. And let you go until you hit the wall and crash. And then he's going to tell you it doesn't work. He knows darn well why you're there. It's because you did not maintain and stay freshed up and keep the truths of God stirred up. And this one we're talking about, if you start just going and don't feed on things that are going to keep your face centered up on Jesus, the world is always trying to put it back on you. Everything you look at. I mean, if your inbox is always coming in with something that you can do to improve and, you know, this you can do to network and this is how this person made this, it's all about you. That's how the world thinks. You got to do this. You got to do this. You better network here. You better do this. You better do this. It's not about go to God and find out what he wants. Has anybody, you may have gotten an email like that, but it's probably from a Christian organization. You know, if you go to the business type of things, they're not going to send you, the top tip of the week is go to God and find out what he wants you to do to grow your business. It's usually not that. I've never seen something like that. It's the top five reasons how you can grow your business in this way. I'm not against that stuff, but I'm saying, it's all about you, what you can do. And if you're not doing it right, that's why you're failing. And that's the way the world's geared. And you have a steady diet of that, and you don't keep filled up on what Jesus has done and the fact that we're supposed to live different and supposed to go on and stay strong in him, and that if I mess up, I stay strong in him and I put it behind me and I go forward. If you don't stay strong on that, you will start getting worn down and trying to live. See, if you're trying to live like the world lives, with the thinking they have, yet still trying to obey God, you're in a bad place. Because if you're trying to obey God, you already have things arrayed against you to try to stop you. And now if you're not going to do it in his strength, but do it in your strength, now you're in trouble. You're trying to do what God has told you to do, and he expects you to rely on him, but you're trying to do it the world's way. You're going to get worn out. You're not looking at yourself. You're not looking at the Lord. You're looking at you. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get worn down. And then you're going to hit a wall. And then the devil's going to tell you it's God's fault. That's the next thing that's going to happen. How did God let you get here? You were going to California. You were going where you're supposed to go. God told you. Now, why didn't it happen? And it's staring you in the face if you look. You let it slip. But you're going to blame it on God because he didn't miraculously translate you. We don't live in that realm yet. Well, God should make it happen. Doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way. Just because God has provided it, just because God's told us, does not mean it's on autopilot. We live in a mortal body. Newsflash. We live in a body that will wear out if you don't give it rest. We have a spirit that needs to be fed, and it does not go indefinitely. You need to feed yourself spiritually. You need to take rest for your brain. You need to let yourself recoup mentally. You need to recoup spiritually. You need to recoup, or you need to replenish spiritually. You need to recoup physically. And how do you keep feeding on truths that are core to what you believe? It's the same thing with food. You don't go to the table and go, well, I had meat already, or I had protein already. I had carbs last week. I had fat. I don't need any more. No, you need to keep putting it in, right? However it comes, whatever kind of food group it comes through, you need basic things. Well, you know what? We need that spiritually. Well, I know the truth. I know what Jesus did for me. I don't need to hear that. That's baby stuff. I already know that. I'm going on a bigger and better thing. You don't understand this. Nothing works without it. It's the foundation. You don't leave it and then go on to stuff. I'm going to believe for bigger things. How can you possibly believe for bigger things when you're condemned about every little thing and in a process of works and don't think you're able to receive anything? See, everything from God is received by faith, by believing. And if you're condemned, you won't have any faith to pull anything down. Well, I already knew that. I thought that was basic. You have to feed on it. You have to keep it fresh. You have to remind yourself that what Jesus did for me is the foundational truth, and I believe it. I'm not going to get weighted down with sin. I'm not going to get weighted down with condemnation. I'm going to keep going on. You guys in Hebrews yet? Hebrews 8. Verse 10, it said, "For this covenant, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." We talked about this last week, sat on it for a little while. God, the Bible is talking about this new covenant. He said, I will put my laws on their mind and write them on their hearts. In the new covenant, you are to be led by the Spirit of God. You are to be led by what God has put on your heart, and it will never disagree with what is in the Word. But you need to keep going forward and not get bogged down by all these things, by the world, and if you make a mistake, you can't get bogged down by that. You have to stay built on the fact what Jesus did, and you have to deal with failures in life accordingly. You can't let it define you. You can't identify with it. Just because you failed doesn't mean you're a failure. It means you did something you shouldn't have done. The way God would have you deal with that is to bring it to Him, put it behind you, and go on. But what will happen if you don't stay up on this, you will stop. If condemnation gets in there, you'll stop going to Him. If you stop going to Him, it starts stacking up on you. And if it starts stacking up on you, you will start to get weighed down. Your conscience will bother you. You'll start feeling symptoms of depression. Why? Because you feel like this weight is on you that you're not meant to carry. So you need to stay built up on this truth, which is why we're touching on it today. Look at Isaiah 43 on your sheet there. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." See, don't remember the old things. God's going to do a new thing. I like what he says at the end there. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in a desert. Even when you feel the driest, even when you feel like you can't go on, he will push. He can make it all green again. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what mistakes you made. He can make a road through anything. You just need to go to him. Be encouraged in him and put whatever it is that got you there. Say, okay, yeah, I acknowledge it. I shouldn't have been here. I messed up. Now, put it behind you and look ahead and stay there and realize that's why the Lord came. Maybe you stand up and you're excited about how you got here. There's feelings of regret. There's feelings of pain. You wish you could do some things differently. The fact is you can't. So you can stay right there and go no further, and let it define you, and let it depress you, and do that till Jesus comes. You could stay in the, like what we were talking about earlier, you can stay in the gas station and talk about how you should have gone to California. And people come by, say, "What's the deal with this dude?" Well, and they go talk to you. "I should be in California. God told me to go to California, but I'm here. I shouldn't be here. I don't know why I'm here." And they can tell you the same thing. "Well, gas up, dude, and get going." "But I don't want to know why I didn't make it," and just stay there. And then the next person comes, and it's just like you become the guy that's stuck in the gas station that talks about why they should be in California. And nobody can talk you out of it. You're that guy. You won't get up. You won't go on. "But I believe in Jesus and what he did for me." That can just wane to where you're just depressed. That's the worst case, is that you're train wrecked. You never go on from there. You just shipwrecked, sitting there. You know, I don't know why this happened. 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 I should have been different. Should have been different. Where was God? Where was God? Whatever. I should have done it better. I should have done it better. Okay. 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 But there's still hope. Your life's not over. I mean, you don't have to just hit a brick wall for this. I'm saying you can get this way when it's been a few months. You just feel a little down and you can feel the devil tell you, "Well, whoa, you messed up this and this." And it's really not that big a deal. Somebody could come by and go, "Dude, just get going. It's not, you know, so you made a mistake. Welcome to the club. You believe in Jesus? Get up and go." Or it could be something where, yeah, it was a big deal. It still doesn't have to define us. In any case, it's still the same thing acting at work. It's still the same thing that we've let this truth slip to where it's not real. Think of somebody that was in that state and had never heard about the gospel. What would you have told them? "Well, put it behind you. There's good news for you. Jesus Christ has died for your sins, and you can believe on him today, and you can have a new life. And you can get up and go." And this person could accept it and go and just be ecstatic and the weight's off and excited about life. Yeah, here's somebody that had experienced that, has now let something slip, has ended up in a place they don't want to be in, and now says it's all over. And yet, that same person you asked them, if you would ask them about, what would you tell somebody that was on death row, that had committed horrible things? And what would you tell them if they weren't saved? You would tell them how to get saved and the truth that they could have. And would you say there's absolutely no hope for you from this point forward? You would say there's hope for you. Even if it looks like, I mean, completely, there is no way. I've heard of people turning their life around and then getting out on parole and going and having a ministry. It's not impossible. It's not the norm. But it's not impossible. So you're not probably there. You could back it off a few notches and say, okay, we're getting up. We're going. I'm not saying you have to be there. I'm not saying you have to be in that area. I'm saying that would be something where you really, you know, you just bottom. But I mean, if you're going along in life and you don't maintain, you don't stay stirred up, you're going to go like this. And pretty soon you can be here and feeling like things aren't right. Well, what do you need to do? You just need to just gas up and just keep going. That's all you need to do. You don't have to just because it's going down go pfft. You don't have to do that. I mean, there are days, be honest, there are days everything's going well and you get up, but you let yourself slip and you can just feel like, what's the use? I mean, everything is going wrong. And you look at your life really and it's not. That's a telltale sign. I need to meditate on this. I need to get some spiritual food. I've maybe not looked at the things that I need to look at. Look at Isaiah 43:25, the next one there. It says, I am he who blots out your transgressions. For my own sake, I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. In other words, I blot them out for my own sake. And this is going ahead to what will happen. I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let's talk about it. Get it behind you so you can be acquitted. So you can what? Just go on and do what God has told you to do. Get up and run your race and be strong and finish your course. Let's look at that last one. Philippians 3:13. Just look at it on your sheet. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Now, I bet you almost everybody in this room has heard this verse. And you've probably even heard it the way we're talking about it right now. But we need to be stirred up about this, and that needs to be fresh so we're actually acting on it. It says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting them. Remember that you can forget this stuff. Remember that you're supposed to put it behind you. You're supposed to say, okay, I can't do anything about that. I'm going on. Jesus has set me free, and I'm going to walk in that freedom today. I'm going to walk in it today. I don't care that maybe I've let some stuff slip. I'm back, and I'm going to walk in that today, forgetting those things which are behind and what? Reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We need to just recalibrate, resync. Say, all right, if there's anything that slipped, if I've let it go down a little bit, if I've been under condemnation, if I've been beating myself up, then it's a sign that I'm not doing this. I'm not forgetting the things behind. I'm just loading them up. I have like a shopping cart, and I just like going by and just dumping it all in here. So I go, and as I go, I get slower. I'm getting weighed down. I'm not doing this. I should be saying, yep, gone. Yep, I did this, gone. Yep, gone. So you're light. You stay light. You pack light. You just keep going. Keep going on. And something you do, you stumble, you trip, you don't measure up to where you'd like to be. You're like, I thought I'd be further. I thought I would have done better. I should know better. Okay, welcome to the club. That is one of the most painful things when you know better, you still mess up. Is it not? It's like, I know I did this before, but now I should have known better. Okay. What are you going to do about it now? You beating up on yourself is not going to help. That's a sure sign. You're taking your eyes off what Jesus did and putting it onto what you did more than you should and realizing that, yep, I did mess up. Yep, I should know better. Well, what I can do is make sure I never do that again. All right, I'm getting up. I'm going on. Forget it. We're going on. We're pressing on. We're going to make it. Amen? Just keep pushing on towards the goal and just keep stirred up. And you know what we can do? Is make sure that I don't do what I know to do to make sure that doesn't happen again. Make sure that I don't think this way again. Make sure these other things don't get big. So we keep ourselves focused. Amen?